speak for me or my rider.
Okay. Okay, welcome to the nuts and bolts of a webcomic panel. This is the second year we've been doing this, so yay! And this is bigger than last year. Jesus. Okay, well, let's do introductions. We'll start on the left.
Hi, I'm Pete Abrams. I do Sluggy Freelance.
Yay! Sluggy! All right, I'm Kitty Hawk. I work on Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki. You can view it at sgvy.com, and I sell t-shirts.
I'm Jenny Breeden. I do The Devil's Panties and Giba's Own Parade and Blood and Water. And I, too, have shameless promotion. I have 3 different comic books and a whole bunch of flyers in the bag underneath this table if anybody wants them.
Plug your stuff.
I'm Coy Powers. I'm the artist for All Grown Up.
Mitch Calhoun. I'm the webmaster and general web geek for All Grown Up.
I'm Brad Taylor. I'm the writer for All Grown Up.
Yeah. And we have one more, Rob Balder, but I don't see him. He may be on his way.
We figure he's drunk. He'll be here
eventually.
He might
be filthy. That might be why. Oh, okay, yeah. Hi, Rob.
Where is he?
He's invisible. Okay.
That's just creepy.
Use your imagination.
Well, I think the best way to do this is probably just to take questions, you know, if you have about making a webcomic. So, anybody got a question?
Hello?
Where's the question?
He's right over there. Okay, I'll let y'all point out the people, because...
We could just repeat it up here, so he doesn't have to wait.
Well, they've got... Where do we get story ideas? Yay! It's Rob Balder, ladies and gentlemen!
Just make it that way.
Aww. Well, he gets to plug his stuff. He gets to.
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry I'm late. It's become a tradition.
Yep. 2 years running.
Should I introduce me?
Yeah, yes, introduce yourself.
I'm Rob Balder. My comic is Partial Eclipse at partialeclipse.com.
Okay. So the question is, where do we get story ideas? Well, I basically get some from Norse mythology, of course, because the comic has Norse gods within it, and lots of magical girls, and lots of vodka. Yes.
Do we want to start on that side?
All right, we'll start with you. Where you get your ideas?
I have no story. Every strip is its own capsule, so I don't have to worry about story ideas. But I do have to worry about backstory. So really, it's like let me explain my strip. It's a gimmick strip. It uses clip art, and I just take the same piece of commercially available clip art and repeat it in 3 frames, and then just add my own dialogue and. Narrative and thought balloons. So I have to deal with a static situation, usually like a couple of people talking to each other in some particular setting. And so my ideas come from communing with the blank clip art until I build a backstory in my own head and finally hit something that's... how am I doing? Every time I deal with a strip, it's a different setup, and I just my main problem is trying not to repeat jokes and situations that I've done before.
So not be Lockhart, right?
insert name of mainstream daily comic here. You know?
Yeah, that's like true.
Kathy, whatever, Wizard of Id, you name it.
Okay, I realized I'm in big trouble, because I absolutely love Dragon Con, but I've never done a panel at Dragon Con. And what happens to me when I get to Dragon Con, parts of my brain stop working almost immediately when I walk through the door. So I'm going to have difficulty tackling just about every question you throw, especially a general one like, where do I get all the ideas that I get? But the one thing I can think to answer is, one of the reasons why I'm doing Sluggy for 7 years and I still have tons of stories to tell is I've really given myself such a framework in the strip. It's so open-ended. I've done so many genres, basically, that I'm pretty much allowed to do anything I want. All right, gotta tell a story for this. You guys know who Elliot is, user-friendly?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hanging out with him at a bar in North Carolina, and we were talking about our strips, and he was saying how he does geek humor. His audience is pretty much trained to expect geek tech humor from him, so he's like not allowed to go on a story arc or something like that. He can't do more than like 3 comics in a row before people start going, "Eh, where's my tech geek humor?" And I realized I got my readers trained to not expect anything from me. So I mean, I could do a James Bond parody, a Western. I could, you know, I could start a story with characters that none of my readers had ever seen before, and get like 2 weeks in before someone goes, "Hey!" So that flexibility has allowed me to keep rolling with it.
I cheat. I just take it directly from life, which has gotten me in trouble in the past, but it's really quite easy to, anytime you look at a certain situation, unfortunately you do have some stories make for great stories of, you know, oh my god, I got into the elevator with Darth Maul, the Catwoman, and Spider-Man. It's a setup for a great, you know, joke, but it doesn't make a very good comic book, you know, a comic visual and joke both at the same time. I have in my comics. I did Dragon Con last year. I have cartoons of Dragon Con. Just now, unfortunately, I didn't have a piece of paper, so I wrote down a cartoon idea of a huge room full of people and the professional sitting upstairs and, you know, sitting up at the front with all the equipment in front of them and the thought balloons of us screaming our brains out. So that's going to be a comic. probably be posted on Tuesday. And so, yeah, I just take directly from life because any way you look at it, some parts of life are surreal and weird, and it helps that I work at a comic book store. So when the, used to use an Atlanta term, the Buckhead Bettys, which are the soccer moms and the very perfect little girls, and when they come into the comic book stores and get that look on their face, and then the little kid runs off to Yu-Gi-Oh! And the little girl with the blonde hair and the big bow says, "Mommy, Mommy, I want a comic book." And the woman looking directly at the entire staff of females at the comic book store says, "No, sweetie, comics are just for boys." Get me a pad of paper.
Yes.
So I cheat.
I also cheat. I have a writer.
We don't do any long storylines for the most part, but the ideas for our strips, our strip is based on a group of gamers that, an actual group of gamers, and you know the funniest stuff are the things that actually happened anyway. So I really just, you know, try to compress the funny stories down into, you know, a single panel. A set of panels and, you know, take out some of the bad words and
I put them in.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. Just
knowing you guys, I'm sure that does help compress it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Man, that cuts it way down.
Yes, I was wondering, since you got... I can project. I was wondering, since some of you guys are self-hosted and some of you are maybe go through a thing like KeenSpot or something like that, which would you recommend for someone who's just starting out, self-hosting or through a larger entity?
I have no idea. I've been doing this for 7 years, and KeenSpot just came like in the after I started.
After you started,
Ask the youngins.
I did do a... actually, I started out by doing my own server, and then after my first comic, The Jar sort of stopped because, well, the writer and I sort of stopped doing it. I went to KeenSpace, and I'm going to have to be honest, I did not have a good stay there. It was... server constantly went down. My number... they never gave me right numbers. Actually, I would say... if you can afford it, try to do like your own, host it yourself. It'll be much better in the long run. Then you don't have to deal with like outages and things like that.
So you were Keen appointed.
Yeah, they.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you want to do it for free, go with KeenSpace. But my suggestion is just go it on your own. I mean, it's not that bad. And if you want to be dedicated to this, yeah, go ahead. Just buy your own server and do it that way.
That's really the factor that you have to take into consideration when you're deciding how you want to approach it when you're starting. There are a lot of reasons to do webcomics. It's a great thing that the barriers of entry are so low, I think, because you don't have to try to be the most popular comic on the web. You don't have to try to set out to try to make a living at it. It could simply be just one form of creative expression along the lines of keeping a live journal or something like that. So if you're doing it for less than extremely ambitious reasons, then there have popped up certain resources out there like DrunkDuck and KeenSpace, which make it very easy and free, usually, or very cheap for you to launch your comic that way and not have to know a lot in terms of your technical background and not have to lay out a lot of investment. And if it turns out that you change your mind later on and you really are finding that it's not for you, at that point you can always get yourself hosted somewhere else and look at a more self-sufficient solution. So
actually, I have a question based on that question, because like I said, I'm out of the loop with this. If you're brand new, does KeenSpace give you any type of a readership like foothold to springboard off of, or is it just so vast that everyone's lost in the sauce?
They might, like, I don't know if they still do the KeenSpace, like, the little banner thing that they do, but not really. You basically have to go out there and sort of pimp yourself, say, like, hey, would you link to me? Or if some people come in, because they're just browsing through KeenSpace, they can find you, but they don't really pimp you in any way.
A good thing to do is a mirror site. I started on KeenSpace. Started slowly getting the 200 readers in the first month and slowly up. Then KeenSpace started going down so much, I went ahead and did a mirror site on DrunkDuck. And then I started getting readerships on DrunkDuck. DrunkDuck was awesome because you can comment on every single cartoon and you can really get some feedback. So it's probably, you can get more readers in different locations because not everybody reads KeenSpace, not everybody reads DrunkDuck. So it's good to pick and choose from different places. You get free advertising.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the mirror question, actually, because I looked at that as a way. I had always been self-hosted, but I looked at that as a way because I was a little bit jealous of people who had started on KeenSpace, because I think there is a sort of a background noise of people who just go through KeenSpace, find random comics, read them, and some of those people do like your strip and become readers. So there's a natural sort of growth vector just being involved in a community like that. So I was a little bit jealous of that, and so I was looking at mirror sites as a way to generate more readers. So I went and I created three mirrors. I did one on DrunkDuck, I did one on LiveJournal, and I did one on AOL Journal. Now, AOL Journal I was doing as a real experiment because I felt like most of those people are not tech-savvy enough to even know webcomics exist, but AOL puts the journal in front of them, and they start a journal that way, and they discover, they discover what's out there. And I felt like that could be a good a channel. The results of that after a year were that you can analyze your stats, see how many people are looking at those mirrors, and it turned out for my purposes, only the Live Journal mirror was worth updating. The DrunkDuck one, I had some problems with the DrunkDuck community, actually, which if anyone's interested, I'll go into that later, but probably I don't want to. and then the AOL Journal, it just wasn't generating any traffic. But the Live Journal, I get new LJ friends every week on that LJ, and it allows me to put my comments up there and to get comments back, just like is it Jeannie?
Yeah, Jenny,
right? It's important to get that feedback, and LJ does give you a mechanism for that.
It's also really cheap, actually, to do self-hosting. I mean, $5 a month you can get from several different hosters out there. We use, like, furitheadnet.com. You can get a huge amount of bandwidth. It's not an issue, especially when you're starting up, and it's so inexpensive, it's worth it to self-host. I mean, doing mirrors is fine, I think, but I'd rather just not deal with the ads and other things that end up getting stuck in at most of the other places.
Hmm. I've actually gotten most of my readers from Google. People just putting in Valkyrie and they ended up at my site. That's really where I get most of them.
Oh, I get a ton
panties
of them.
Panties really
too.
Work well.
Yes.
The two major selling comic books is religion and porn.
Yes.
Holy cow. We actually found this out. I forget how we found this out. So many people go to Sluggy through a word search of nun porn.
Nun porn.
And we can't figure out why.
Why did they get linked to you?
What?
Why do they find you?
Google bombing.
I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think it's a plus because they're going to be really disappointed when they show up.
Yeah.
Because there's really not all that much nun porn going on the street.
The guys who were looking for the panties, I got fan mail from one of them.
Did you want porn works?
Did you
know? No.
When you host yourself, what would you suggest using as an automation system? Would you prefer have somebody you know code it, or is there something prepackaged available?
There's not really much prepackaged.
The PHP Nuke.
Yeah, I guess so. I have my own. I have friends who do it for me. In the beginning, I did it myself, and I learned a little bit, but. Friends are how I do it, or learn yourself, or go with an automated service.
If I were starting over right now, I would use PostNuke, but right now it's all custom. I've had to learn PHP, and I have friends who know it much better, who are professionals, who are helping me with it too. So,
There's actually several places online if you go looking for it. That will have PHP or Java blurbs, hotscripts.com. Other places along those lines where you can find the scripts already written that you can basically pop into your site. But there is one thing to look at for self-hosting, which is make sure that the server that you get onto is able to run PHP, mm-hmm. has it installed on it already. Some of them won't.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Several of you have mentioned working with friends. What do you have any advice for someone who's planning on doing a webcomic with a friend? Like, I have a friend who's an artist. I don't draw, but I can do the web stuff, I can do the advertising, and I know all about that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for me working with a friend?
Draw up a contract.
Buy him lots of beer.
No, smack him over the head many times.
Do you guys have a contract or anything?
Actually don't.
when we got into it, we just pretty much decided to split anything three ways, just, you know, to pretty much no rights about anything. We just jumped in together, but, you know, there's times when things I've seen get tense.
Harder and writer and artist, not good.
Well, my group, actually, we did the T-shirts all together, the programmers and I, and we just sort of made an agreement, well, okay, you get part, I get part. I mean, I haven't had any bad experience, the only bad, not really.
Well, any type of relationship can go south and it can turn into something bad, so anytime mm-hmm. you're really splitting up the intellectual property itself, it's just a good idea to have something in writing, and I don't mean like a lawyer. Just send each other an email where you're both kind of saying in some form of writing that this is what we think. If it gets big, this is how we're going to handle things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pete and I know this very well. Pete and I know this very well. Because we've been doing the card game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Know, so, and we've, yeah, you forgot.
It's been a busy week. But, yeah, just having something there is at least you're grounded in case things get wacky. Not that anything ever gets wacky in the world of webcomics.
Oh, yeah.
I had everybody kept on saying, oh, you know, even if they're your friends, even if they're your friends. And I said, oh, I only do cartoons with my friends.
bad experience?
Yeah, get in contract.
like Jeff Darlington's my friend, but I'm going to sue if he posts that on the internet without my permission. Don't give me that look. Actually, you can give it again. It was cute. No, not that one. The other
not
one.
Not that one.
Oh, that's worse. Never mind.
A number of webcomics touch on mature themes without being outright adult strips. How do you recommend new people handle mature themes like sexuality or violence?
I draw the line at nun porn.
But you're on the right side of that line where the nun porn is concerned.
Do you mean porn. Comic? Woo! Oh. Oh.
That was, yeah, felt that in my film.
Me?
It's okay.
Do you mean like cartoon violence, or do you mean like comic book violence?
More along the lines of comic book violence. You might find some strips showing blood and gore, that kind of thing. And but since there, I mean, a lot of times on if you go to like for example, if you go to an adult website, they'll have a page saying it must be 18 in order to enter, but you don't see that a whole lot with web comics, largely because a lot of them aren't explicitly violating sexuality, but they do touch on those themes.
Well, mine does. I mean, I've had, you know, what are bestiality jokes or, you know, fetish jokes. I've got a lot of fetish jokes, and you know, I'm not shy about dropping the F-bomb either. So, I mean, I just right on the top page of every page on my site, it says a webcomic for grown-ups, and yeah. I just, you know, let it, you know, I mean, I can't control who's clicking on my site, and generally, I try to discourage the kids by using big words. That tends to drive them away any more than any warning would ever work. It's like, what do you mean? That had four syllables in it. And it's like,
well, honestly, I don't feel like there's like a problem. You know, I don't really feel that I should have to warn people. I feel like if parents don't want their kids to see this, they should be responsible for their kids. They should monitor what they watch. I've always been a true believer in, I shouldn't have to censor for a few people. If they want to censor, they can do it themselves. And I really strongly believe this. So I have no problems with using the F word or showing a bit of ass or tits.
I like showing ass and tits.
Well, yeah, I do too.
I like it when you guys do that.
Although I have found myself censoring myself because I don't want to censor myself, but my mother reads this.
My grandmother reads this, and I got a nasty
boyfriend's
letter.
My boyfriend's sister reads this comic, so I censor myself a lot.
You shouldn't.
I want to, but I've started a thread of what not to say in bed.
Yeah.
I don't want them to think that's what we do.
No, my grandmother sent me this nasty note, like saying, I can't believe you're doing this, you're corrupting the American youth, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I wrote her back and I said,
you should just post her email and let all your readers flame.
I didn't want to do that because then I would be more yelling. But I wrote her back and I said, dear grandma, my life, thank you. You don't have to read it. I'll be there for Christmas.
We don't really do that much violence or anything in our strip, and so that's kind of been established now. So after like 100 strips, you don't want to just all of a sudden change what you're doing because it'll upset your
someone
general
loses
readers.
A head.
But other than that, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the internet, man. If you want to do it, go for it.
It's good two words, protection software. You know, you can get the filtering stuff for the, you know, for the kids. And don't let. I wouldn't censor myself if I were you.
I found out that I'm actually in a lot of businesses. Nobody can read my site because it has panties in it. I love that!
I basically, my answer is what these guys said, except for what he said about bestiality. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, but I did a bestiality joke in my Sluggy Guest Week.
Oh, what?
You
I don't believe that. I don't have time to read any
Zoe, I love you, but only in your camel form.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, I'm not
that'd
sure
probably
check
be
that.
The nun porn.
I have no idea.
I actually have one that a comic that I did that I quit kind of a year ago because of, you know, various stuff in my life, you know, kind of taking over. And I'm thinking about getting back into it. Do you have any advice for someone who's been away from their webcomic for a year?
Keep running.
Yeah. Jump right back into it. I mean, that's all you can do.
Don't be disappointed if you don't receive forgiveness from your readers, though. You're starting over after that kind of a gap.
Readers are brutal.
Yeah, they suck.
Shush.
I would just like to know, as far as writing the story and planning it out, what various methods do you use? Do you do a treatment? Do you do an outline? And how far ahead do you do? Do you do a chapter or like a set number of pages ahead?
Well, let's see. I probably have the most variety of ways of writing. I've got stories that I do based on one joke. I've got things I've planned years in advance. Sometimes I start with outlines. Sometimes I start with where I want the characters to start and where I hope to God they'll end up somewhere close to. But I don't actually do the strip until the day before. So, yeah, I'm one of those guys with zero buffer. It's horrible. I've been on that edge for 7 years, and I don't know how to come off it. I was going to start working on the comic for when I get back from Dragon Con here, if I had the time, but I don't think I'm going to have the time, so I'm really screwed. So on Wednesday, it'll look kind of scribbly. You'll understand why.
Since I've got, a story already planned out, I sort of have, this notebook that has, the points that I want to reach, but generally it's like I sit down, I'm like, I want to write. Okay, so I throw something together, it's a bunch of pictures, and I arrange them, and then after I've actually drawn the comic, I write the words in. I've sort of the Marvel method of one person. It's not a good way to work. I suggest you find another way. It only works for me.
Sometimes I jot down a lot of ideas, sometimes on my body, sometimes on paper. Sometimes I go back to them later on when I've sobered up, and I look at them and go, what was I thinking?
Or drunken ideas are the best.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's trying to translate them into sober thought.
That's true.
Sometimes I may run them down by somebody, and if they don't laugh, I'm like, great. And sometimes those are just, little one-shots. If I have a joke I want to do, the pirates running around, I want to say, okay, well, I can't just dump this on here. I show up at Dragon Con and scream about a person in spandex. So that's the first one, then I can get into my Dragon Con cartoons. But yeah, one or two backstories in case you need to set up the idea.
I agree. I make a lot of notes. I've got post-its all over the place. I go through my wallet once a month and, pull out all these post-its and try to remember what was funny about them in the first place. And,
sitting at work, bored.
Oh, yeah.
Writing on cash receipt paper.
We actually don't have a buffer or else they would be sending it to me. Or if they do, they've hidden it from me, so I don't have access to it.
We work without a buffer.
I think the biggest buffer in webcomics might be back in the corner there.
and
5 weeks, something like that? Seven weeks.
Eight.
Daily strip.
Good God.
How do you do it?
One picture?
Hate you.
I tried a buffer once. It didn't work.
I actually do keep a month buffer. But I have to because that's the way it's contracted with the newspapers that I run in. My strip runs in 10 newspapers. I don't think I mentioned that, but I'm contracted with the editors to post the next month's strips ahead, and then that I give them more material than they can print, and they can pick and choose among the ones that they want to run. So I have to work a month ahead.
But Rob draws really slowly.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But I click and drag really slow. Yeah.
No, I think his art sucks.
Don't make his song his that's right.
Oh.
Okay. I know there's several different types of mediums you can use to draw your webcomic, like a tablet or just scan and ink and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Which would you suggest? Or which do you use, rather?
I just use my little Wacom tablet. I mean, I've actually knocked pen and paper completely out of the process. I'm armed with Photoshop and Wacom, and I mean, it's so much better now because all I have to do is just pull out my laptop, start working, and I can do it anywhere. And I don't have to worry about, the scanner or where I am. So I recommend a Wacom tablet. It is a fine tool. And if you make a mistake when you're inking, it's like, oh, well, back. And it's so much better. I love it. I think they run about $100 now. I'm really not sure. I bought mine like 3 years ago, maybe.
4x5, about 99.
It's the teeny tiny one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the dream tablets. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, that's the one I was looking at when I thought I had lost the stylus to mine. I was like, okay, now this is the excuse, but then I found it.
You know, they don't stand up well thrown against doors.
I'll keep that in mind.
I'm kind of the old fashioned. Since I'm working on the comics now, I actually draw it on paper and scan that in. And the reason is because I kind of grew up with a pencil, and I can use a Wacom tablet, but I'm far better. There's something about it that just doesn't come out as good as with what I'm used to using. But it does have its advantages, like when my hard drive randomly crashes, and even though I back up a lot, I still lose a few days of work. I can rescan the artwork, and it's just doing some relayouts as opposed to, plus, I make a mint on eBay. What happens, though, is when I bring it in, that's when I use Photoshop to clean up. Like, if I make a goof on the paper, I don't sit there with the whiteout dabbing stuff. I just scan it in, mistakes and all, and just touch it up when I get there, fill in the blacks. So it's like a hybrid of paper and Photoshop.
I guess I'm around computers all the time, so it's like if it crashes, I'm like, I've got backed up already. I'm like, I need to use your computer now. 10 seconds to deadline or something. Yeah.
I do the exact same thing Pete does. I draw it on paper, scan it, then do the cleanup and the coloring and whatnot on the computer.
Yeah, it's definitely especially when you're starting out, you can get away with a artist friend of mine pointed out that you can get away with changing your style and messing with different things, and I went to SCAD and majored in comic books, and so I was able to go to an inking class, and we were taught the brush, the pen, the nib, micron, tons of different techniques, using sponges to do like foliage for trees and stuff, and messing with a lot of dry brush. So I go back and forth between, you can use a brush for organic things, hair and people, and then microns for backgrounds, and then you can scan it in, and then you can add color and tones and do the mess with different things if you want to reprint a certain panel for the full effect of.
Yeah.
So, mess with tons of different media.
Yeah. But also, a thing with Photoshop is use layers. It is your friend. Because if something doesn't look good, you can take it out, and also you can do a nice diorama shot. And there are a lot, like she was saying, brushes. Like, I used to use pen and paper and all that, so I used a lot of brushes. And since there's lots of brushes in Photoshop, just play around with them. I always do that. In fact, some comics look different than others because I'm like, today I'm going to use this brush.
I once used Legos.
Awesome.
That was a fun medium. And the nice thing is that the toys become tax deductible.
Actually, I'd like to jump in because normally I just bring a Game Boy for when the art question comes up, and then, you know, I just let everybody go to town on their brush technique and stuff, and just shrug it off and you know, play Mario or whatever. But no, I have to use the Legos as a segue thing because I know there was a woman here earlier had a question, and she said she was a writer and not an artist, and so just speaking. Speaking for a subclass of webcomics where it's not done by an artist, there's no artist involved, there are a lot of ways that you can, as a writer, create a webcomic. The simplest way is to go to stripcreator.com, where a bunch of webcomics have simply granted permission for their characters to be used, so you can bring in like John from Goats and stuff and put words into his mouth and make a little strip there. But they're
I'm so gonna do that.
I'm so sorry I told you that.
What was that your
Stripcreator.com. Actually, I'd love to see what you'd come up with. But you know, there are you know, there's like original pixel art, and there's Digicam comics where you go and stage it. And
have you seen Dinosaur Comics, where the guy uses
the
same strip?
Oh, Dinosaur Comics is brilliant. Oh, I mean, you know, you think my format is limited? wow, this guy, he takes the same, I guess, six panels involving dinosaurs about to crush houses,
And looking at each other.
And looking at each other. And yeah, the panels are exactly the same in every single comic. And he writes brilliantly. He absolutely, these are some of the funniest, most clever, most thoughtful, thoughtfully written pieces of dialogue in all of webcomics. So Dinosaur Comics, look it up. I link to it. So yeah, it's a really really interesting concept. So there are a lot of ways. Don't let, you know, embrace some technology, because there are ways that if you want to do humor online in a comic form, you don't necessarily have to do it with art. So. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I have Fuzzy Nights. If anyone's ever seen Fuzzy Nights, it's a guy who has made a brilliantly written story comic, hilariously funny, about his teddy bear collection. there are all these plushies, and they are brilliantly done, because in terms of like their actual characters and the storyline and the dialogue, I can't recommend Fuzzy Nights highly enough. Read it from the beginning, and it's all game related, and it's meta humor in there. I really admire Fuzzy Nights, and yeah, he just does it with a digital camera.
The definition of a comic is a communication of a thought or an idea through pictures and images. Use stick people. Use pictures of your sister. Ask her first.
I want to preface this by saying we recognize that the art is free, a largely volunteer effort, and it's not meant to be a complaint. But as a fan, you spoke a little bit about buffers and, you know, what
Uh-oh.
Happens when you take a long gap.
Uh-oh. I'm going to hide under the table now.
Seriously, is there an internal dialogue amongst webcomics about how, you know, the issues of continuity affect the art?
This is where that Dragon Con thing eats my brain a little. What was the question again?
I mean, to make just a slightly less hypothetical example, it can be really frustrating if you're emotionally invested in a comic, and you learn that the artist is 17 years old, and whoops, he's off to art school, and there's no more webcomic, and you're right in the middle of this, you know, 37-issue thing,
right.
And that's it. It's gone. That's one of the frustrations of the medium. Not to take anything away from the medium, but is there an internal dialogue between you guys about how that issue affects how seriously your work is taken?
There's so much freedom involved, and I mean, people can do a webcomic for any reason that they want, and they can leave it at any time, and a reader can start reading any time they want and leave at any time. So I think it's up to the individual exactly how much. Like, despite the fact I've been doing a lot, the reason why I wanted to hide under the table is I've been doing a lot of guest artist weeks, and it's not because I've been taking time off, it's because I've been really being crushed under a workload of all different kinds of things. But I feel that connection, and I feel for fans who come in to see what happened next, and they have to wait another week to find out.
Yeah.
So that's really real to me. It doesn't stop it from happening, though, because I, like I said, I work without a buffer, and then if my hard drive crashes or my daughter gets sick, it can seriously affect it.
Here's a cue.
But all I can do is the best I do, best I can. Yeah.
It's probably, I have a daily online strip and a full-time job, and the only thing, sometimes I come home at night and I pass out, and I'm like, no, I gotta sleep. No, wait, I'm gonna get hate mail if I don't update. And that's, I probably would have quit this comic years ago because it is incredibly difficult, but I get fan mail.
Yes.
People in Germany and sailors on ships send me letters saying, oh my, I read your comic, it's so funny. And I'm like, somebody other than my mom reads this?
Yeah.
And so it does help when fans say, oh my god, I have a friend who's exactly like that. And I'm like, oh my god.
But and it's lonely at sea, and would you please send me your panties?
And
that
that's how
too.
We found you.
Send $20 more.
I'm pretty guilty of this, I'll admit. But I work two full-time jobs, and I come home from work during the day, I come home at night, you know, I have a lot of things, but I could have quit. I mean, I've thought about quitting many, many times, but I love it so much, and there are fans who, like, forgive me. They forgive me each time, and I love them for it, and that's what keeps me going. I mean, I've quit one strip before, and I'm not doing it again. I want to keep going. This is what I want to do. And I'll keep doing it no matter what, even if I get my arms chopped off. I will learn to draw with my feet.
I like how you put the arms out in case we're saying takers.
Come on, take my arms off. I'm a man.
You are?
Let's give her a hand.
Yes. Aww. You die now.
This is where we're lucky in that we have a team. One of us, if one of us ever thinks about quitting, we've got to go and tell everyone else.
Yeah.
You're doing
so that usually stops it. We sit there and complain, but we'll keep going.
Yeah, and the question specifically was about what do we creators say amongst ourselves? And I'm one of these guys who tries to have a connection with the whole community, and I'm really into, you know, talking shop with other people who do it. And I think if there's a consensus about it, if there is one thing which all successful strips have in common, as diverse as the field is, I think it would be that the creators have a commitment to their readership. And so I think I've come to believe that that's a prerequisite for having a very successful comic, mm-hmm. is that you must feel an obligation to the readers. In my case, I have an obligation contractually to the editors, so I can't. I mean, it's more than just I'm committed to doing this, and I want to come through on people's expectations. I do, but I also have to have that material there, or these papers will drop me, and I won't get checks anymore. So,
let's assume that your handwriting is absolute crap. How do you letter?
I just use fonts.
Fonts.
Yeah. Fontbat.com.
Blambot.
Font Freak. Acid Fonts, yeah.
What's the...
Comic Sans MS.
Yeah. Letter-O-Matic is my favorite.
There's a specific name for it that the professional comic creators use. It's a plastic circle with a bar at the bottom and a lot of dots in it. What is it called?
Etzel
lettering, get a lettering guide. It just makes lines on the paper, but I've actually found that even though it takes an extra 5 minutes, which I don't have, so I don't use it very much, I still, when I use it, it tightens everything up. So that's if you're bent on doing it by hand.
Yeah.
And I wear the Scarlet Letters MS for Comic Sans MS. that's a real stigma in the community, but it's like, you know.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
I left the land of Microsoft, so no more.
I know this is a bit of a polarizing thing in the industry right now, but I'd like to get people's thoughts on the Scott Kurtz business model thing. Good for the industry, bad for the industry?
Who?
Mm. Oh, the whole offering his comics up for free to the newspapers?
As an actual syndicate, what do you think?
Well, actually, Scott and I have talked about this. He made the announcement in very general terms at the webcomics panel at Comic-Con in San Diego. And I was not on that panel, but I was back in the audience with some other creators. And as soon as the panel was over, I just turned to the other creators and I said, excuse me, I need to talk to Scott before he breaks comics. And so I went over there and I was very concerned that Scott was going to offer PvP to all print papers for free in perpetuity. If he had done that, then it would have opened up. It would have essentially put a lot of people. Whatever you may say about syndicated comic strips, it wouldn't have been good for the profession of cartooning, because it would have these papers are already thinking they're paying too much to the syndicates for these strips, and so they have been like making ultimatums to the syndicates: you will reduce your fees by this much and stuff. And if they had an alternative where they could offer stuff that would be accepted on the comics page for free, then they would start throwing established comics off the page. Well, it turns out that's not what he wanted to do. He's going to offer it for free for a limited time. and then require them, if they want to continue, to pay him a syndication fee. Well, guess what? I did that 3 years ago. I mean, you know, everyone thinks Scott Kurtz's model is revolutionary. Well, that is how I got into the papers that I'm in, is that I sent them a packet of the strips that I had established. I said, you may run these for free for 8 months. After that time, you must pay me, and we will negotiate a fee. 14 papers picked me up for free, and these were, by the way, because of the F-bombs and stuff, I had to send only to alternative weekly papers, just because that's what I was geared toward. I was geared toward a sort of a grown-up, literate audience, and who, you know, you couldn't put my fetish stuff or whatever on the main comics page next to Ziggy or whatever. You know. So, you know, I had my market, I had my niche, I had my plan, I did my plan, it worked. And so Scott on the panel was saying, I don't know if this is going to work. So I said, yes, it's going to work. It worked for me. I can't get into mainstream papers, but it will work for you, and PVP will probably be picked up by a lot of these mainstream papers. So I think it will work, and I think it's a good idea. And I wish him the best of luck. We did talk about it on the phone a couple of times after Comic-Con, just because he wanted some particulars in terms of what I had done and what my results had been. I think it's a good model. If more webcomics were capable of running in mainstream papers, then I think more webcomics could do that. But the vast majority of what's on the web is on the web because it can't be in mainstream print.
I found that a little interesting when what you were first saying, that you thought that he would actually, that one man could actually break comics.
Well, it's...
I had no idea this was even going on.
Yeah,
If someone really wanted to just give their comic away in perpetuity to newspapers, well, it's his to do. And it would... I don't think it would, like, totally break comics if that was the case.
Well, it wouldn't be one man. It would be everybody who followed at that point.
Yeah.
It would be the papers going out and saying, okay, well, you know, let's open it up. Let's have a page for free comics, and let's eliminate a page of pay comics and see what happens. And then we'll, you know...
Yeah, but that's the thing. You would see what happens. Eventually, I'm not thinking you'd be getting PvP quality on that free page, and the newspapers would start to suffer from it. I mean...
Oh well, we could argue quality on the on the comics pages. I mean, if you took the best web comics.
I don't read any comics, so I don't know what's going on. What I'm saying is, if he wants whatever he wants to do, you know, let him go. And I hope it doesn't break comics, because man, that'll be a big wake up call for me.
What I meant was, it'll break the traditional model by which most cartoonists who make a living at. I mean, you're the exception. It's a growing segment. Those who make their living on a web-only comic, it's a small segment, but growing. But the traditional model, in terms of, you know, 95% of all people who make a living cartooning do it through a syndicated comic strip. So what I'm saying is that the gain for those who moved into those papers in terms of recognition and what they could do on their side of the model by becoming a household name probably would not offset the people who would be put below the level at which they could make a living and would end up no longer being professional cartoonists. So that's what I mean by it would break the established model, and I think it would be detrimental overall to the total field of professional cartoonists.
I'm going to have to agree with you here, because Dragon Con made my brain melt again.
It's
okay. But yeah, I think you're right.
But then again, one could say that maybe the model needs to be changed. I mean,
I don't disagree with that. I think the comics page has been broken for a long time, and I was picturing Scott like that, which, if you know Scott, is a really funny image. I was picturing Scott like that runner in the Apple 1984 cartoon, going up and running. And if you know Scott, I mean, that's a lot of, like. That's a really disparate image. So it's like you can't quite picture that, you know, him in the running shorts or whatever it is. Yeah. But it's maybe ultimately it would be a good thing. But I think in the short term he'd probably do a lot of damage. And I don't know. I think this is a better model. I think this may ultimately refine the total syndicate model. And I. If you could put those comics people to work otherwise without the syndicates and get rid of the evil syndicates, I would be, you know, totally behind that.
Well, maybe that should be the new business model, getting rid of the evil syndicates.
Yeah, that's
maybe. We could have a conspiracy or something.
Oh, conspiracy. Let's march on them. Pitchforks and torches.
Y'all are all now part of the conspiracy.
An agrarian revolt.
I mean, we could take
You're
dragon,
recruited.
We could take Dragon Con there and pretty well take out the people here.
Somewhat along that same line, different Scott McLeod, looking at webcomics as sort of this golden herald, seeing an eventual thing of every comic being phased out in favor of webcomics, and gearing most of his more recent work in terms of quantity and volume towards that ideal and towards bringing that to fruition. What do you guys think about that?
It'd be nice. Huh?
Yeah. I mean,
basically, I'm asking, do you think that, A, do you think that webcomics will eventually completely phase out the print market, and B, do you think that's a good thing?
Well, I think there'll always be sort of print, I mean, like graphic novels and stuff like that, but I think it is sort of, comics are sort of evolving towards the web. I mean, if you look at it, there aren't as many print comics as there used to be, and the print costs are pretty high. Because they're having to make up for the fact that they don't have as many in circulation nowadays. So I think that eventually we will see, there will still be print comics, there always will, but I think web comics are going to become more and more the norm, and I'm all for that. I mean, I would like to see that, because I can't get all the comics I want. I live in Alabama, and there aren't many comic book stores there, so there are maybe a few, and they're, like, far away. So webcomic, I feed on webcomics. So I would like to see it become the big new thing.
I actually kind of think the question is more, where will print media go? Oh. Like, what will newspapers be like in the future? What will books be like in the future? I think that's directly connected into webcomics moving over other comics.
Well,
I mean, shoot, I used to have to color with a brush, you know, and these guys don't even pencil on paper anymore. My daughter's gonna just think crap into the computer, and there it'll be. Who is she gonna be in trouble when I catch that?
I think print will be around for a while. I think print is nice. I will admit, I like it, but I think it's on its way out.
Yeah, it's like not like rock and roll killed the symphony orchestra. I mean, it may be that
CDs killed albums.
Yeah.
Well, CDs. Yeah, but that's the same. I mean, it was the same business model. It was just what you were putting the music on. You know, it was still the same record stores and the same DJs and the same radio and same labels. So, but you could look at it. It could go away the way that like the comedy album went away. You know, technology overtook it, and you were getting concert VHS performances and stuff that, you know, no one cut a new comedy record in, you know, the 80s. It was all, you know, Bill Cosby had moved to doing, you know, VHS cassettes and stuff of his concert performances. So it was kind of, you know, there's a case where an entertainment medium was very, very popular and then died. So it'll either be like that with print comics, which I don't think. But it would be nice if the symphony orchestra model were true, because it's, you know, symphony orchestras are kept kept going by a small group of very rich fans who contribute a lot, which right now webcomics are the ones which are depending mainly on the enthusiasm of the audience to directly support it. And if the two models switched, where webcomics were the mainstream somehow and print comics were on life support, you know, and dependent on people to pay $5 for a newspaper in order to get their comics or something like that, then, you know, I could live with that, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with that. I don't think any of us knows really what's going to happen, though. I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
Away from the slight serious tone of the other questions, you've got your webcomic. If you're lucky next, maybe you start printing some T-shirts and people buy them, maybe a mouse pad or two. Where do you see your comics going, or where would you like to see them going? Cause, you know, there's different stages of web comic evolution going on up there. There's, you know, Sluggy, all grown up. Where do you go next?
World domination.
Oh, well.
That was my plan.
Making more.
More.
I don't know, Dragon Con ain't my brand. I just want to get to Tuesday, you know?
Give this man some liquor.
You're not going to see a change.
I'll vouch.
It's a very broad question. I think it's more dependent on what kind of comic you have. Some comics appeal to a very broad segment, and they can, you know, if you look at it as a popularity contest, they can go farther than other comics just because of their subject material or their tone or how they're aimed. When you're doing a comic, you have to decide who you're trying to entertain, what kind of stuff you're putting out, and just make sure that it's reaching the people that you want to reach. That's all you can really do, and let it develop on its own. You can have plans and aspirations for it, but really it's about getting it in front of the eyes of people who are going to appreciate it, and everybody else can read some other webcomic.
I'd eventually love to do a video game, but gotta do a little bit more before I can do that.
I'd eventually like to play a video game.
I've got my Game Boy in my purse if you want it.
Please.
My brother
played City of Heroes for like 3 hours, and that's all I got. Well, thank you, guys. That's nice.
We feel sorry for you. Game.
I don't think we've ever had a plan. That'd require a meeting. We don't do that anymore.
We don't look at each other if we can absolutely help.
Yeah, I've been fast forward all. Actually, this is more of a springboard project just to get us used to working with each other before we tack on serious stuff. Whatever that is.
My brother said the same thing. He said, Jenny, you have to say something with your comics other than boobies.
Boobies are something to talk about.
Yeah.
Boobies is a very serious subject.
It's very, yes. No, you got to really grasp
size.
The
firmness.
But, and I've done the, okay, I've got a book out, okay, I've got some t-shirts out. I'd really like to pay my rent using the proceeds of these things, but I'm not there yet. My goal is to just be able to pay my rent. That's my goal.
My comics pay for my games, so.
Yeah.
I would like to add one thing to it, and that is that the comic for me is only one creative outlet, one creative endeavor that I've got going on. I'm also, like, this is my Filk CD. I'm performing tonight at 10 and tomorrow night at 10. And it's, thank you, and I just cut it. And it's all parody songs, so it's like, you know, just it's like the clip art version of singing. You know? So, and then, you know, Pete and I have developed a card game around Sluggy, and we're working at Get Nifty, and we have recently had a setback on that, but we're working very hard to get it to stores and get it to you. I've got these things going on, and I'm also associate editor of Nth Degree, which is a zine you might have seen around. We've been distributing it. I write fiction. I write poetry. I got my hand in a lot of stuff, and so the comic is one thing, and I'm going to let it go wherever it goes, but then I've got other things that I have the same outlook about.
Just out of morbid curiosity, which webcomic do you like the best besides your own?
Ooh.
Do we have to say best?
do we
also have to add, we can't say each other's comics too, because then it ends up being an ass-kissing contest, and none of us want that, really.
Kiss each other's ass as much as they want.
That's true.
No.
We didn't answer the question.
It's kind of like asking your mom which of the kids that she likes best.
Yeah, there's so many.
She doesn't want you to put her in the old people's home.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
All of us have
depends
links pages, I think, right? All of us have comics that we link to.
I need to update my links page.
Yeah. Most of the links that we actually put up are people that we've met or dealt with. It would be more specific for your own reading list, so we've actually meant to put that up in a side section too, but it is very difficult just, you know, when I think about it. Yeah, it's my fault. It's me. Lazy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will be ballsy enough to actually say the name of a comic in answer to this question, and that is Mitch in Wonderland. It alternates among my favorites, but really, you should check it out if you can. MitchinWonderland.com.
Yeah. I hate this question, really, and it's not because I'm going to say the wrong ones. It's because I really, 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 really don't read any other comics.
Yeah.
I don't read books, and I don't play City of Heroes for more than 3 hours. I'm a very sad person. But I'm having a lot of fun at Dragon Con, so it's making up for a lot. Hey, that was my suck-up.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ian McDonald, who fills in for Saturdays, I always loved Bruno the Bandit, but I can't even read that now. And he's, like, doing stuff for me. And, well, he's also on Keen's spot, and it takes, like, 20 minutes between each loading.
Yeah.
You'd rather spend those 20 minutes playing a little bit more City of Heroes.
Yeah. 20 minutes, go get yourself a snack.
Yeah.
Too busy drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything else. I have no life.
Lately I've been reading a lot of Wigu. Wigu.com.
Oh, I love that guy. I don't read his strip, but he's cool.
That is an awesome comic.
Yeah.
I am made of poison.
He gave me one of those shirts, too. We were at Comic-Con, and we're hanging out at this, like, this cathedral-turned-goth party, and, like, Mark Hamill showed up, and it was all the fun and everything. And he's, like, sneaking drinks off tables when people walk away, and he's finishing off the drinks. He comes up behind me, he goes, "I just drank something blue, and I don't think I should have." And I'm like, "Dude, I want to party with you always." So I know Wig is a good strip from that.
I really don't read other webcomics either. I didn't expect this one to ever do anything. I expected to do it 3 times and then we'll move on to another project, but I don't read webcomics.
And then 2 years passed, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, this is actually really cool. Normally when I'm on a panel, everybody has like a million years of buffers and they all read a million comic strips. This is the first time I'm finally among my people.
There's a few that I read, some of the other ones on this panel, other people as well, but I don't know. Daily basis, I hate to mention any names that would make people mad, but I'd usually read Penny Arcade every time that comes out.
I do have links on my main page that aren't associated with my plug because they plugged me page, but some odd, disturbing reason, everybody who reads my stuff also reads something positive. I should be frightened, but I read that too because I went to kill my coworkers. But also, if you haven't seen it, Return to Sender, it only posts every week or every other week. It is gorgeous. I look at it and drool. And it's the same thing that it posted every week and then it stopped for about 2 years. And I cried every night. And then it started posting a couple of weeks or something, and every kernel I get, I'm like, oh.
I'm very sad about the loss of Spells and Whistles, if anyone read that.
Yeah.
And they've actually stopped doing theirs. It's very good. Read the backlog.
Back to the question about the about the T-shirts and stuff. How would you suggest moving to printing T-shirts?
Well,
find some way to get wealthy first, other than that, and then go back into it.
I pulled money together, found a local printing shop that had just opened, and I just recently did a run of T-shirts, which you should buy, with them. Before that, I did Cafe Press, but I'm going to have to say they suck.
Yeah.
But if you can pull a lot of money together, like just scrape it together like I did, and then you do a run of T-shirts, you will get some money back, but it is so worth it to, be walking and see someone wearing one of your T-shirts.
I had a different business model. I got myself a shirt guy. I recommend getting one of your friends and turning him into a shirt guy. when Sluggy first started, when we first offered the T-shirts, Tom was literally ironing transfers onto shirts. We get like 3 orders. He'd iron 3 shirts and send them out. And just it was able to grow, so the demand, as the demand grew, he got a screen press, and then now he has a silk screener. But we never ended up with like 50 cases of shirts in our apartment or anything like that. So it was a nice little ramp up. And he's the one who suffered all the heat burns and oh, it's funny. You should know.
Yeah, I know. I'd be laughing my ass off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Keep your day job. If you want to market yourself, if you want to print off your own comics and stuff, keep your day job because it won't pay for itself. I mean, you're going to try to sell some, but it's not going to... I'm still working at a comic book store.
I work at a game store.
Yeah, you know, and also it helps that I didn't print up shirts until a fan said, oh, hey, I have my own, you know, print shop, and I can get them for you cheap, and so I'm still in negotiations with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes a while.
I was kind of looking at the job situation, too, because I was actually a freelance web designer for some marketing firms like AT&T stuff, things like that. And what happened is as Sluggy grew and was bringing in more money, I could devote more time to it and take on less jobs. So I was able to gradually shift it as I needed to, mm-hmm. which helps a lot. So.
My situation is that last year at this panel, I was able to announce that I had quit my job to do the comic. now I can announce that I'm looking for a job. I was doing some consulting on the side just to pick up, to close the gap between what I was making from the comic and what I needed to live on. But some of that consulting work recently fell through, so now I'm looking at getting something that'll get me a paycheck for at least the next 6 months or so. So I'm considering that more like a touch and go landing than a going back to the cubicle hill. But that's where I am with it now. And in terms of merchandise, I have not yet made a major merchandise push. I have been waiting until the time was when I figured I had enough readers that would drive sales and make it worth the effort that I was going to have to put into it and the money I was going to have to put into it. I'm getting complaints now from my readers that I don't have merchandise, so I think it may be getting close to that time. But now, of course, I have no money to invest in it, so I'll need the job, and then I'll get the T-shirts, and then we'll have a more standard and rational model.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question with such sites as United Media and Comics Page Comics. What is your opinion on printed comics going on to online?
I'll allow them.
Yay.
I mean, it's again, it's the whole thing that they're free to do, you know, what they want with that kind of thing. I mean, they're gonna have extra attention, you know, like Ziggy goes online, everyone knows Ziggy, and it's like, wow, now Ziggy's online, but still Ziggy. You know, people are still gonna find what they want to read, and they're gonna stick with what they love. So it shouldn't really affect anyone's bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Anything to bring more people into the fold.
Yeah.
I do think we should be allowed to haze them, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I just, like, as soon as Ziggy
Welcome
gets online,
party.
We should be, all the webcomics people should be able to, like, you know, wait. Beat them up with socks full of bar soap or something.
Send them time.
Ziggy doesn't get in until he drops the F-bomb.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Until Ziggy tells us what's really on his mind.
Yes.
Every artist has his own style. I was wondering what influenced or what your style, not just artistic style, but writing style as well.
I get influenced from so many things all over the place. It's tough to pick names, but I get the question often enough that I hone in on a couple of them. And let's see. Well, Rumiko Takahashi is a big influence for me as far as layout design. Just telling a story in visuals and black and white balance, which I still suck at. But that's the kind of thing where I'll turn back to my RAM of books and flip through just to get a recharge of how I should be making the stuff look. And from humor, Bloom County all the way. That
yes.
was always my favorite.
Yes.
I mean, Calvin and Hobbes is great and everything, but Bloom County.
Oh, yes.
His
yeah.
rhythm for telling a joke is something I always loved. He'd lead you on with the one, he'd act like he's going to give you this punch here, this joke over here, and he'd hit you with it, and you'd like, yeah, I expected that. But in the last panel, he'd nail you with a sucker punch that you never saw coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are the top two that come to mind.
I had somebody, especially in school, they said, okay, what's your style? I was like, I just draw pictures. And somebody said that it was goth anime. And after I stopped screaming, I realized that a lot of people look at my stuff and go, ElfQuest and Strangers in Paradise, right? I learned to read from ElfQuest, so that kind of explains a lot. But I didn't think of it until just now of influence of comic book artists and stuff, of Calvin and Hobbes.
Mm-hmm.
The fact he can tell a joke with words and also have that look, that evil little child, I'm going to, you know, flush your term paper down the toilet type of look. And then he can turn around and do Calvin talking about the universe while going through a really pretty, the artist is going to play now
yeah.
scene. So take it from all medias and all venues.
I've just been reading comics, watching cartoons all my life.
I was an art student, so of course I got a lot of influence from there. Clamp really influenced a lot of my layout, because they have some of the most gorgeous layouts. Like, panels will run into each other, people just sort of go on three panels, like large page spread outs. They have some of the most gorgeous art, in my opinion. Rumiko Takahashi, of course, for humor. And having a little brother who's very close in age, and we were the only kids in the neighborhood, so we sort of developed our own brand of humor. So it ended up being like a lot of things of like people screaming at each other, or today Eagle Man is going to run out of energy. I don't know. It was just, yes. Just basically everything influences me.
Yeah, I don't think I can really point to any particular influences, at least not that show up in the webcomic itself. I could say Warner Brothers a lot, but mm-hmm. since all of my characters are human now.
They're human.
Well, yeah, but none of them look like.
No.
So, I don't really know.
Yeah, and I can't speak for the 50,000 or so people who draw my art, but I imagine they're influenced by the needs of the travel industry, mostly. A lot of people playing golf. No, I have a serious answer to this based on the writing aspect of it. I've always been a student of humor, and I've always tried to find the most hysterical stuff just to make me laugh, and so... I've been very influenced in terms of my writing by British humor, wordplay, and a dialogue-driven and tension in dialogue. One character one-upping the other in repartee is, to me, is what's really funny. So a lot of Monty Python, a lot of like Blackadder, Red Dwarf. Hitchhiker's Guide, of course, but then also, you know, I mix it up with you know, sort of an American sensibility with like Mel Brooks stuff and things like mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, I'm thinking always from a humor standpoint, and in terms of the comic strip form, that double punchline is something I use constantly out of Bloom County. So, yeah, that's where my sensibilities come from in the writing. On the art side, actually, I do have a serious answer to that too, because you do. You know, we mentioned in the Calvin and Hobbes thing about, you know, you can do a lot with an expression. Well, it's not that I can't do anything to draw, you know, a character with that sort of expression, but I am dealing with whatever the art is right there for me. And if I write to that, then it's achieving the same effect. If I've got a clip with somebody who's got a little bit of a sneer or something like that, and that comes out in what they say at the end, it ends up being just as effective as if I'd written it and then drawn the perfect picture for it. So. I try for that.
I kind of agree with the British humor thing. I try to go more for the young ones than, say, Monty Python. But I also try a lot to do humor that I think, even though we do a lot of we're a gamer comic, so we do a lot of stuff that's specific, you know, that's specific to gamers. And you guys all get it, but you know, everybody outside this room, they have a lot more difficulty with it. And so I really try to work on bringing out universal ideas. You know, it's about gaming, but beyond that, it's about, you know, relationships and that people everywhere are equally crazy and that kind of thing.
I've just been alerted we only have two more questions.
So, I'm working on a research project at Georgia Tech that's trying to automatically capture somebody's everyday life and then try to create a comic strip about it. And the idea here is something like a diary or a blog for lazy people. People who are too lazy to actually write it. And it has an index into their life in the future. Can you give me any help in finding resources or a particular type of style that might be good for that, or the type of person I need to find to help me with the artwork?
Rob's looking for work.
Yeah. I was saying, I was, in fact, a lot of people don't get the clip art thing. I've actually been asked to illustrate things. And one of the things I was asked to illustrate was a guy's book called How Stupid Are You? Life doesn't give you a setup like that every day. I said, sir, I use clip art. I can't draw. The only thing I could possibly illustrate is your point.
Dragon can't eat my brain, I can't.
I'm an artist, I can't help you. I had the artist from the beginning. One of the webcomic artists that I've been on a few panels with, Aaron Lindsay, who does Venus Envy, like, was looking for an artist for a long time, and she actually just ended up just doing it herself because she figured it was easier to do it that way than go look for one.
I always love going back to the basic point of it's a picture or an image illustrating a thought or an idea. And that if you just keep it basic to that idea, you can do anything, everything. Mm-hmm. You can do if I think you're thinking, I actually have no idea where you were. Okay, I was looking at him. So if you're, I guess you said the project was putting someone's daily life into simple, you know, comic book ideas and stuff, which is what I'm doing. You can always take, like, either photographs of the world around you, and you can always Photoshop in stick people, or mm-hmm. My sister would give me ideas. She's a writer. She does puppetry. Very strange, off the wall. If you think his stuff is funky, I don't even get it. But she gave me some ideas to do with the Jesus and devil and Jesus during Halloween and all this kind of stuff. And she illustrated. She was like, okay, now in this one, this person is saying this, and it's a person getting, you know, hit by a bus or something. And she did it with stick people. I loved it. I was like, can I post the stick people? This is great. It's it takes away from the art if you fully illustrate that.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many things, in comic books at least, you're getting these computer-generated, fully detailed, three-dimensional images to do this, and you're looking at it. I have no idea what the story is, but it's pretty pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Do the opposite. The story, focus on the story by minimalizing the artwork. So if you have stick people, all they got is the story. Sorry, there's just so many different ways you could do that.
Triangle and Robert.
Read how to make friends and influence people, and make lots of friends. Seriously though, just look in amongst the groups of people that you're around, your friends, your family, other of those sorts. You will find someone who is, or at least somewhat knows mm-hmm. art of some form, if that is what you need, or perhaps just to help you with the story, or just to do inking, just to do coloring, whatever.
Have
it is
sign
you
a contract.
Need, someone can. Then sign the contract.
Yeah.
But I have to say that there are more writers who know they can't draw than artists who know they can't write.
Are you trying to say something?
Present company accepted, of course.
One quick one. Yeah. One quick question.
You guys pick. I'm not picking this time.
Okay.
That guy's jumping out of his seat back there.
Yeah, the guy's chopping out of his seat.
I just wanted to see a show of hands how many people in the room are web cartoonists.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hang in there.
Definitely.
I'll get you on the web. Give me my email box.
Okay. So well, I guess that's it. Thank you for coming. I'm going over into the lobby over that way.
For those of you who missed it, this has been recorded and will be on the DragonCon website after the convention.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my.